Freeland, Wednesday C. First posted March 10, 2010. 1 Corinthians 1:18, 1:9-1, 22-25, 26-31. The wisdom of God. The preaching of the cross of Christ seems foolish to those who are perishing spiritually, but to those of us who are being saved it is the power of God. Paul quotes Isaiah 29:14, who declared that God will destroy the wisdom of those who are wise by earthly standards, and will thwart the clever in their cleverness. Paul says to consider those who are considered wise teachers and debaters of this age. Hasn't God made the world's wisdom to be foolish? God in his infinite wisdom has designed this world so that one cannot know God through human wisdom. But to save those who believe our preaching, which the world considers folly. Jews seek signs proof by supernatural acts, and Greeks pursue worldly wisdom, but Christians preach Christ crucified, which is a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who respond to the invitation of the gospel, both Jew and Greek, Christ is the power and wisdom of God. God's wisdom is wiser than mankind's, and God's weakness is stronger than mankind's. Consider our situation when we responded to God's invitation. Most were not wise, powerful, or born to nobility. God chooses the foolish and weak of this world to shame the wise and powerful. He chooses the lowly and despised, and things that seem worthless, to bring to nothing the things the world values, so that no one can boast in God's presence. God is the source of our life in Jesus, whom God made our wisdom, our righteousness and sanctification, and redemption. 1 Corinthians 30. Therefore, as God's word says, let him who boasts, boast of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 1:31. Compare Jeremiah 9:23-24. Commentary. God has designed this universe to accomplish his eternal purpose, which is to establish an eternal kingdom of his people, who willingly trust and obey God's word. He has designed creation to allow for the possibility of sin disobedience of God's word, so that we can have freedom to choose whether or not to trust and obey God, and the opportunity to learn by trial and error that God's way is our best interest. But God is not going to tolerate rebellion and disobedience forever or at all in his eternal kingdom, so he has limited creation and we ourselves by time. God's word declares that we are all sinners who fall short of God's righteousness. Romans 3:23, 1 John 1:8-10, and the penalty for sin is eternal death. Romans 6:23. God loves us and doesn't want any of us to perish eternally. Romans 5:8. John 3:16-17. Jesus is God's only provision for our forgiveness of sin and salvation from eternal condemnation. Acts 4:12. John 1:4-6. See God's plan of salvation, sidebar, top right. Jesus has been designed into creation from the very beginning. John 1:5-14. We are all born physically alive, but spiritually unborn. This lifetime is our only opportunity to be spiritually born again. John 3:3-5-8. Eternal life. Only by the baptism anointing, gift of the indwelling Holy Spirit, are we spiritually reborn. Only Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit. John 1:31-34. Only his disciples who trust and obey Jesus. John 14:15-17. The Holy Spirit is the seal and guarantee that one is in Christ and has eternal life. 2 Corinthians 1:22, Ephesians 1:13-14, Romans 8:9b-1:15-16. Consider the creation story of Adam and Eve in Genesis 3:1-24. It is intended to be a parable, a common earthly experience used to teach spiritual truth, a metaphor for God's purpose for creation. God created a perfect paradise here, but Adam and Eve introduced sin into creation by succumbing to temptation and disobeying God's word. They were in a perfect paradise, had personal daily fellowship with God, their creator, and eternal life. God had warned them that they would die if they ate the forbidden fruit, but they listened to the tempter, who said they wouldn't die. They didn't die physically immediately, but they lost eternal life. They were driven out of the garden, and the tree of life was guarded so that they couldn't take it by force. Mankind's yielding to sin did not surprise God. God knew that in giving mankind free will, we would all initially choose to do our will rather than God's. That's why the Savior Jesus Christ was designed into creation from the beginning. God's Word began to reveal the coming Messiah Savior, God's anointed prophet, priest and king, in Genesis 3:15 and progressively throughout the Old Testament. Jesus came to become the only sacrificial offering acceptable to God for the forgiveness of sin, restoration to fellowship with God and eternal life, which was broken by sin, John 1:4-6. That forgiveness, salvation and restoration are only received by faith, obedient trust in Jesus. Wise and clever worldly people can turn deserve or take salvation and eternal life by force or deception. The Jews stumbled because they didn't accept Jesus as their Messiah. They kept asking for signs, miracles of God's supernatural working. Jesus did many miracles openly in public, but they didn't accept them as from God. Jesus can only heal and restore those who realize and acknowledge their sinful nature and need for a Savior, Matthew 9:12-13. Someone said that there are two kinds of people in the world: sinners who think they're righteous, and the righteous who know they're sinners. The Greeks couldn't accept Jesus because he defied worldly wisdom and logic. Divine wisdom is eternal and unchanging. God is all-knowing. He knows the number of hairs on our heads, Matthew 10:30, and every star in the sky, Psalm 14:7-4. But worldly wisdom is constantly changing as human knowledge increases. Consider the recent controversy over the definition and number of planets in our solar system, for example. For people who demand proof in order to believe, there is none, because salvation depends on faith. But for people who believe, there is abundant proof. It not true that one cannot know with certainty what comes after physical death. The only people who don't know where they will spend eternity are the spiritually lost and perishing. Is Jesus your Lord? Are you Jesus' disciple? Are you trusting and obeying Jesus? Have you received the indwelling Holy Spirit since you first truly believed Acts 1:9-2? Are you making disciples of Jesus Christ and teaching them to obey all that Jesus commands, Matthew 28:18-20? Do you know with certainty where you will spend eternity, 1 John 5:11-13, Ephesians 1:13-14?